The story for the chicken in the supermarket, of course, we all know, is a grim one.
When you eat a Purdue chicken, you have no idea how much work has gone into it. My son Frank eats, sleeps, and breathes chicken. He works inhuman hours, 15, 16 hours a day, to bring you the quality you've come to expect from Purdue's. You might wonder what drives a man like this. I'll tell you, me.
Arthur Purdue founded Purdue Farms with his wife Pearl in their backyard in 1920, eventually growing it into a $4.1 billion company. The industrialization of meat production scaled up so that it can deliver 56 billion farmed animals per year, turning backyards into factories. But what about the workers? It's the subject of Ellen Silbergeld's new book, Chickenizing Farms and Food, How Industrial Meat Production Endangers Workers, Animals, and Consumers. Silbergeld argues that we put food safety ahead of worker safety. It's something that hasn't changed in nearly 100 years, since Arthur Purdue's day. How these workers, like Arthur's son, Frank, are treated, and how the multi-billion-dollar industry is regulated.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture had funded research to develop a chicken that would be tenderer than the retired layers, which is what people used to eat. Those were the days of boiled chicken. So that was one contribution. The other was, some people will say, a kind of excess labor force in certain parts of the country was certainly related to the growth of transportation. And then there were at least a couple of really extraordinary innovators who saw an opportunity to radically transform agriculture. And that's what the USDA means by the word chickenizing. Some people have asked me, but wait, aren't there other animals that are grown by this method? And I say, yes. But it's actually a USDA term that, if you will, pays homage to the primacy of the transformation in chicken production. And I first came across it, I saw a book called Chickenization of Pork Production.
Oh,
and I thought at first, is this some kind of genetic engineering? But that's when I learned what it was.
What was the main innovation that Purdue and Tyson were able to put out in the field and make a reality for the poor chickens?
I think the main one was that Purdue first figured out the key place to position yourself was to own the slaughterhouses, because then you're in a position of setting the price, and you also settle the cost that you're going to charge the wholesaler and the retailer. And that was the real innovation. And he focused all his design, management, and economic innovations on the slaughterhouse.
What's it like to witness firsthand one of these hugely scaled operations, whether it's beef, pork, or chicken?
It makes you weep for the people who work there. And this is really the forgotten part of this whole story, you know, and that goes all the way back to Upton Sinclair. When he wrote The Jungle, and it caused an immediate stir and rapid response from Washington, the pure food and drug laws that were passed in 1907. But Sinclair, when he was asked about this, you know, aren't you proud that you made this wonderful change? He said, no. I aimed at the heart and somehow hit the stomach, because that book is about workers. And in fact, when I gave a copy of The Jungle to one of the labor union leaders that we've worked with, I remember he came storming out of his office with The Jungle in his hand. He said to me, when was this book written? And I said, 1904. And he looks at me and says in a really loud voice, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed since this. And then he looked at me and said, I know it sounds corny, he said, you must write a book.
What are the conditions that most threaten workers? And what have you seen in terms of workers who were actually injured or perhaps even killed on the job?
The most vivid picture I saw was when we were down in Columbia, South Carolina, doing a study at a poultry processing plant. And one of them showed up wearing a black plastic trash bag. And I said, Charlie, why are you wearing a black trash bag? He said, this is the protective equipment they give me. But I think if people understood that a slaughterhouse gets washed down once a day, and for certain hog plants, there can be as many as 30,000 animals that come through in that day, you can imagine how effective it is to clean it up once.
What would get, do you think, the American public to be concerned about workers in the meat production industry? Because Americans are biased toward the issue of pathogens and less interested in the workers.
Well, I'm hoping, because I have a chapter on worker safety before the chapter on food safety. My observations are that these two are absolutely linked. and the practices that are allowed in slaughterhouses and, in fact, on farms result in unsafe food. So if you care about food safety, you have to care about worker safety. 98% of the chickens produced in the United States today come out of the factory system. So we can go to the farmers market, but we're doing nothing for the health of our country. So we're really all part of this problem.
What policy solutions would rectify the situation for that 98% without raising the price of chicken so high or making it unavailable that the access to chicken and meat as we know it would be a thing of the past?
What we have to do is recognize we need high production agriculture. All the CSAs, all the organic farms in this country could not feed most of the cities in this country. So this has nothing to do with a viable food system for all. What we need to do is something much more difficult, which is to say we have an industrial production system that is out of control, and now we need to reform it. You know, in 1923, we invented cars. Well, in 1925, we put lead in the gasoline of cars. Not a great decision. By 1970, we realized that the engines were so inefficient that they were creating really dangerous smog situations in L.A. and other major cities. Did we go back to the horse and buggy? No. We took lead out of gasoline. We mandated reform of the engine and fuels. And now cars come mandatorily equipped with seat belts and airbags. So we have to adopt that same attitude to the situation we have with food.
Ellen Silbergeld is a professor at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and author of Chickenizing Farms and Food, How Industrial Meat Production Endangers Workers, Animals, and Consumers. Thanks so much.
Thank you.